Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to be together again and that you're able to join me as we continue on in the Word of God. And as I said, the reason I have devoted the time on these broadcasts to the extent that I have on this subject of living the life of the Spirit. What is the law of the Spirit of life? If we will really understand what the Word of God tells us, and let me just say this, God's ways are really simple. A child can understand them. The salvation message, the good news of the gospel, is not difficult to understand. If anyone in their life would admit they've ever once lied, they've ever once cheated, they've ever once had an impure thought, whatever it might be, beloved, we're a sinner because that is the nature, the original sin, if you will, that was passed down from our first parents, Adam and Eve. That is, our minds have been darkened. Just as they walked in the glories of God, in the presence of God, in the Garden of Eden in paradise, once they sinned, they disobeyed God. He warned them in advance. There was only one stipulation, you know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't want them to, but he knew they would. And he made provision even in advance. He said to the serpent that he will crush, the Savior that's coming will crush your head. You will bruise his heel, but your head is going to be crushed. And indeed, that's exactly what happened thousands of years later at the cross of Calvary. So what I say or my opinion, beloved, it does not matter. It matters what the Word says. We've got to have revelation of the Word. And I want to be, and as I said, the focus has been on the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you how important it is to rely on the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life. If you are born again, if you have experienced salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then without fail, Jesus, and you repented, you were sincere, you weren't just mouthing words, Jesus came to dwell in your heart. Is it possible to backslide? Is it possible to get off track? Of course it is. The devil just loves to bring deception, loves to bring hindrances. He'll do whatever he can to stop you from going on in God. And when we're first born again, we're just a baby. We don't understand things spiritually. Even you could have been raised with Christian parents. You could be a son or a daughter of preachers. Is someone in ministry, yet until you're born again, our natural mind is darkened until the Spirit of God comes in. Then we come to life, our spiritual man is made alive, and then we can receive the teachings, the understandings, the revelation that God will give us. So I'm talking about the necessity, not just the importance. It's nice if we walk in the Spirit, have the fullness of the Spirit. What do I mean by the fullness of the Spirit? Well, again, my opinion doesn't matter. And this is far above denominational. You know, it's a sad, there's not going to be Pentecostals, there's not going to be Baptists, there's not going to be a Lutheran section in heaven. Think about it. Come on. Man has done that because we differed in our opinions and our understanding of the Word of God. Why? Because we didn't have the mind of Christ. As I said, I'm really simple-minded. If we had the mind of Christ, there would be no disagreement. The enemy might try to bring strife, but following the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus isn't double-minded, and he's not schizophrenic, and he's not beside himself. He knows exactly. He knows the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of truth, and so there's no debate. And why does he abhor sin? Why did it cause such a great penalty for Jesus on the cross? Because it literally contravenes it. It is the contradiction to the laws of the universe. God is a good God. He has principles. He has laws that are in operation. Natural laws. There's gravity. Try, stepping off a high building. Gravity is going to take effect. And, we may be able to fly around in heaven. That's our spirit, man, but we certainly can't do it here. So, beloved, well, with our glorified body, Jesus, he could walk on water, and I understand, God can do all kinds of amazing things. We don't know that which awaits us, but there are beautiful, wonderful times ahead. Eye has not seen, neither hath ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so, I want to discuss, we're continuing talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit, basically being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, many people teach that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit when we receive salvation, and that there's no such thing as the evidence of speaking in tongues, even that it's demonic. Beloved, to have that kind of belief, everyone is free to have their own opinion, make their own choice, be of having studied the scripture, making their own decisions. But beloved, the word of God contradicts that belief. Is the Holy Spirit present? Absolutely. We are born again. The Holy Spirit will dwell with us forever as long as we continue on. We don't turn our backs on him. However, what does the Bible say? Again, I'm going to give a lot of scripture. Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 17. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, because remember those 11 original and the 12th that was added, the 12, they were stayed at Jerusalem. But bless their heart, the deacons, they went out. And Philip went to Samaria, and they received the word of God. There were signs and wonders. No, he wasn't an anointed priest or prophet, but God was moving. And so what did they do? They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. He was in them, but he hadn't fallen upon them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, obviously, they were saved, right? Because Jesus had come, he paid the price. We were taught to go to all nations, preach the good news of the gospel, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, they were, obviously, but apparently, what's wrong? Didn't they know they were believers? Of course they did. It says they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. If you will really study the book of Acts all the way throughout, we see the evidence, the scriptural evidence of speaking in tongues there. Now, as we read in this 8th chapter of Acts, we find the people of Samaria believing the gospel that was preached to them. They were being saved. The words of Jesus also seem to bear out the teaching that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, listen to me, is separate from salvation, the Holy Spirit that you receive when you're saved. Jesus said, if ye then, this is Luke 11:13, know how to give good gifts unto your children. What good parent doesn't know how to do that? How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hallelujah. praise God. The Word shows us clearly how we can know when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, He made it obvious in the second chapter. That must have been an amazing experience. Now, I don't expect we'll see tongues of fire and a great power of the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing, but that was done to really make an impression. And they were dramatically transformed. They were empowered. That's what He said, go to Jerusalem. Jesus said to do that. They were already saved. When He appeared to them after His crucifixion, He breathed on them and He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Okay? So then He tells them to go to Jerusalem. So if there's not two experiences, was Jesus a little confused? I don't think so. The words of Jesus, He said, when in Luke 11:13, that your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. It is something you request. The Word shows us clearly how we can know. We see that in the second chapter of Acts, the distinguishing operation that showed everyone of the people that were gathered in the upper room, those 120, when they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. And yes, it was different languages that those who heard them, they heard the good news preached in their own language. And, you know, they thought they were drunk. Peter said, these men are not drunken as you suppose. Peter said in Acts, the second chapter, 39, listen to this, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You might ask why. Well, to the natural mind, it's offensive. It can be, you know, I've heard actually one brother is like, oh my heaven's sakes, the gibberish. Come on, beloved. Why is it offensive? Because it's humbling to the pride of man. We don't know what we're saying. We're allowing our tongue to speak mysteries, to pray. And that's what it means, praying in the Spirit. No, it doesn't mean, yes, using the Word of God. That's praying with the understanding of praying in the Spirit. Paul makes a distinction. So, beloved, if this is an experience we need to desire, if you have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be ministering more on that as we do that in a future broadcast. But I pray you'll make an effort to join me. And if any time you miss a broadcast, you can go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and listen there as the broadcasts are archived for years. Well, I bring this broadcast to a close. There just wasn't enough time. We'll have to wait till tomorrow. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.